This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We'll talk a bit more about this Biden budget stuff, illegal immigration, language. We're losing farms. The public is all out on the LGBTQ Air Force stuff, apparently. All that email, so much more coming up this hour, but we're going to do something now. We normally do on Mondays at this time, but I was gone yesterday and I love it too much. I didn't want to skip it, so we're going to do Medal of Honor Tuesday tonight. A little bit of a different thing. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, and ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can email Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. You can also email in any Medal of Honor citations you happen to like, or that has some kind of relation to you from your hometown, your uncle's brother's cousin knew him, whatever it may be. If there's one out there you like, you can email in suggestions. We have stacks and stacks and stacks of them, and we'll get to them in due time. But this is an email we got. Hey, Jesse, I'm a Marine and just hit 25 years as an LDO major, and I'm currently tad to Guam. I never realized it was such a crucial battle during World War II. Reading into it, there were four Medal of Honor recipients in this battle. Could you please read PFC Luther Skaggs Jr.'s citation? Just like all Medal of Honor recipients, he's a stud. Figured you would like it as a former mortarman. It says Semper Fi. And yes, I do like it. Just to remind everybody, this is the second Battle of Guam in World War II. There were two battles because we had it originally. And then Japan took it from us in 41, I believe. Yeah, 41, they took it from us. And then in 44, we had to go back and take it back. And it was a tough nut to crack, as all these islands were.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a squad leader with the mortar section of a rifle company in the 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, 3rd Marine Division during action against enemy Japanese forces on the Azan Adelup Beachhead, Guam, Mariana Islands, 21st to the 22nd of July, 1944. When the section leader became a casualty under a heavy mortar barrage shortly after landing, PFC Skaggs promptly assumed command and led the section through intense fire for a distance of 200 yards to a position from which to deliver effective coverage of the assault on a strategic cliff. Valiantly, I'll explain all this in a moment. Valiantly defending his vital position against strong enemy counterattacks during the night, PFC Skaggs was critically wounded when a Japanese grenade lodged in his foxhole and exploded, shattering the lower part of one leg. Quick to act, he applied an improvised tourniquet and, while propped up in his foxhole, gallantly returned the enemy's fire with his rifle and hand grenades for a period of 8 hours, later crawling unassisted to the rear to continue the fight until the Japanese had been annihilated. Uncomplaining and calm throughout this critical period, PFC Skaggs served as a heroic example of courage and fortitude to other wounded men, and by his courageous leadership and inspirational devotion to duty, upheld the high traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. Now, I'm not going to get into the history of it and the Guam and everything else right now. We just have too much I want to get to. I just want to make sure everyone understands the beachhead. Establishing a beachhead. What does that mean? They always say it. It means a foothold. That's all it means. It means you have to seize so much of the ground right there at the water line. You have to seize enough of it that you can land men and equipment and materials onto the shore. Because right now, before you assault it, they control every part of the island, right? Every inch belongs to them. Well, you've got to take some inches back. You have to establish a beachhead, whatever size that may be. Listen, for a massive invasion, a beachhead might be the size of a country, right? For an invasion of Guam, a battle like this, it might be miles, you know, 2 miles, 3 miles. But you have to establish a part of the island you control so you can load men and materials on there. One, that's what beachhead's all about. Two, remember this. It said his section leader became a casualty under a heavy mortar barrage. There are, I hate to use such a modern commie hippie word, but there are serious inequalities with how casualties are handed out during war. Serious inequalities. And this is what I mean. If you look at a Marine unit, let's say a regiment, a division, some large size Marine unit, and you'll look at that unit and you'll see that that unit was involved in the fighting on whatever, pick an island, pick a battle, it doesn't, Iwo Jima. They landed on Iwo Jima. And then you see the casualty numbers for that unit. The casualty numbers might look relatively small for that unit. It was a unit of 10,000 men, and they only took about 600 casualties. And now I realize that's all 600 of those matter, but it sounds small, right? That's a small percentage. Okay, so it wasn't that bad. But what you don't realize, and this is consistent throughout history, is that the guys on the front, they take almost all of the casualties, and the casualties for an entire unit may sound small, but on the ground level, there will be ground units that will be almost completely wiped out. I was reading a book today about, it was a Marine unit landing. It doesn't matter where it was, but a Marine unit landed, and they were going over one of the platoons, and the platoon landed with 45 men. By the end of day one, 41 of the 45 were casualties. Gone. The unit's gone. Period. End of story. Gone. Disappeared. When you land on the beach, especially during, you know, these times, the Japanese would have essentially, how do I describe this, pre-sighted the mortars. They knew, if I put my mortar on this setting, it will land here. So they would wait until the guys would mass up, until there were a bunch of dudes in one spot. Boom, drop a mortar on there. One mortar shell, you wipe out a whole platoon. I was trying to explain, that's a long way of me trying to explain, Private First Class is a very early rank in the Marines. It's very, very early rank. You are as junior as it gets, really. He's the section leader. How does that happen? How could such a junior guy, a young guy like Skaggs, become the section leader? Everyone else dies. That's what it was like there. Everyone just dies. Everyone in your platoon's gone. Everyone in your company's gone. They're just gone, died. And he just sat there on it. He ended up losing that leg, by the way. He got a Medal of Honor from Harry Truman in 1945, but he had one leg by then. He sat there all night long after tying a tourniquet on himself with his leg pretty much blown off. Didn't make a sound. What a stud. What an absolute stud. Joe, what do you think about all that?
As you just heard, Rose, many heard her say, many Americans pay for prescription drugs. More money than anywhere in the country.
Jeff, today. Simpatico Jesse. Hey, Chris, what's that mean? Simpatico. Can you look it up, Chris? This isn't Spanish. This is Latin or something. Anyway, I hate Joe Biden as much as the next guy, but sometimes I feel sorry for him. Sometimes I wonder if Joe Biden is trapped in the White House, has become as bad as the nursing home run by Ben Stiller's character in Happy Gilmore. He's always asking for permission to take questions, always has people controlling his every move. Says I can use his name. His name is Sam. I've actually talked about this before on the show, and it sounds small, and maybe it is small, but honestly, let's talk about this. It makes me feel good. Puts a smile on my face. You know Joe Biden's miserable, right? Personally. Almost all these people are miserable human beings. So craven, so corrupt, bought and paid for. And we on the outside of power, you know, you, me, we're on the outside of power and we're looking at power. Let's just make it about the president. President of the United States of America. And I don't know about you, me, I will oftentimes think about how cool that job would be. It's hard not to think about that, right? Well, hold on. They shut down the highway for my motorcade? Hang on. Let me get on Air Force One with my private security force. Let me go get my butt kissed by this Arab king and this. I mean, be pretty good. President. And so we look at the glory and the glam of the job and we think to ourselves, gosh, that would be really cool. Joe Biden's miserable every day of his life. Old. Tired, mind broken, doesn't get to do anything he wants to do. His twilight years are not spent surrounded by loving family and friends. He doesn't even have any of those people. He's been a sociopath for 80 years. His twilight years are spent with inhuman amounts of pressure on him, yelled at all the time, daily life boring, difficult, stressful. Put a smile on your face. Joe Biden's miserable. The people destroying the country are miserable. Speaking of which, let's talk about $5.5 trillion in tax hikes. Oh, and speaking of numbers, let me give you some numbers. T levels are 50% of where they were 50 years ago. Just think about that. In 50 years, we've lost half of the testosterone in the United States of America. And it's not because men today are weak. It's because of all the estrogen in the waters. We drink it. We shower in it. And it's killing us. And we have to do something to counter that, or we're not going to have a country to save. Doesn't matter how much money Joe Biden spends. We're not going to have a country to save unless we counter that. That's what the male vitality stack from Chalk is. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack for you. We got to get your levels right, too. Natural herbal supplements. No more shots. No more big pharma crap. Nature is where we will find our solution, and Chalk has found it for us. And remember, the Mega March discount, it's on subscriptions. So get a subscription to something. Look, after 90 days, you don't feel better, cancel it. They're not going to give you any crap, but save money and get a subscription. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. We're going to get to companies gathering and selling our data. We're losing our farms. We're going to get to emails. We just have to. I just want to touch on this really, really quickly here. Biden unveiled a budget. Now, before I get into this, let me clarify something. Presidents now, all of them, they unveil budgets that will never, ever, ever come to be. But understand how broken our country is. Budgets should come to be. We should have budgets. The American people should very clearly be able to see what is in the budget. What is the government spending money on? What are we cutting? Nothing. What are we adding to? It's something that should be laid out very clearly for the American people. But that day is past because now we've simply just accepted the concept of the continuing resolution. Remember, a CR, a continuing resolution, that, quote, government funding bill or government funding bills, more specifically, that they vote on every couple months. That's not a thing that should even be legal. In fact, it's probably just flat out illegal. A continuing resolution is supposed to be there for emergency purposes only. Hey, we're in the middle of World War III with China. The nukes are in the air. We don't have time to meet and hash out a budget. Just pass a continuing resolution. Just get us by a couple months. That's the point of a CR. But that's all we have now for a budget. And I'll be honest, that's all I can foresee us ever having. Why? Well, a CR, a continuing resolution, allows these people, all of them, Republican and Democrat, to never have to make a tough choice. Ever. Because you just show up and say, well, I mean, no, I didn't vote for more of this or less of that. I didn't take anything away from you. I didn't vote to blow up the budget. I just voted to keep the government open. That's how they address it. That's how they message this every time, isn't it? You're nodding your head. That's what they vote on. We can't shut down the government. Well, we got to keep the government open. But we should have budgets. We don't, though. But every president does this. They unveil a budget. Now, you don't need to stress about the individual things that are in Joe Biden's ridiculous budget. Why? Because as we just discussed, it's never going to become law. They're never even going to vote on it. It's just not something that's going to happen. But there are concepts within these budgets that we probably should pay attention to, because what these budgets are, they're a nice preview into what that guy wants. More specifically, into what that party wants. So one of the things that has been bothering me for a while, and it's been bothering you too, I know, because I see it in emails so often. Your emails mention this to me a lot. With this coming financial crisis, you know it's coming, I know it's coming, let's just get past all that. With the coming financial crisis, what are the evil people who run our government, what are they going to do when they run out of money? When they can't possibly print anymore because the value of the dollar has been destroyed, when we can't afford the interest payments on our debt, what are these people going to do? And so when you go down this, you just do a mental exercise and you walk down this line with me. Okay, so they're not going to stop spending. You know what? I know it. Republicans won't stop. Democrats won't stop. It's just going to be CR after CR after CR until we're all flat, broken, busted. Okay, so we get that. So let's just fast forward to that point. Now let's get to fiscal crisis time. We'll call it 5 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years. It's going to be somewhere. Fiscal crisis time hits. Boom. They act like it happened all at once, and they will. They'll act like it happened all at once and it was totally unexpected. Oh my gosh. We just got word that unless something changes, we won't be able to pay our bills next month. We can't afford the interest payments on the debt. So we're going to miss some payments. And now this is an emergency here. We're going to have to start slashing benefits. Okay, so they do that thing. And that's what they're going to do. Just get ready for it. That's what they're going to do. They're going to act like this was totally unexpected and it came out of nowhere. They, of course, won't take any accountability for it at all. Oh, how could this happen? You know, that's what they'll do. But then they will need a solution, right? They're going to need to come up with some funds. They're going to need to come up with some funds rather quickly. One of the things in Joe Biden's budget that should make all of us look a little side-eyed at these people is he has proposed $5.5 trillion in tax hikes. That is the largest, highest tax burden in the history of the United States of America. These people really are just going to pillage us. They'll probably pillage us before they even cut a dime. Cut? What? No. Just raise some more taxes. You know I'm right. All right. Let's talk about this Boeing story really quickly before we get to everything else, the emails and whatnot. But first, let's talk about this. Pain. The everyday aches and pains that come with life. Just happens. You know it by now. Muscle pain, your foot hurts, my hands, my neck, I know. But how we deal with it is the problem. Not that aches and pains are a problem, that's life. How we deal with it's the problem. Reaching for the ibuprofen bottle, or worse, is a problem. It's terrible for your body. Yeah, the inflammation went away for a little bit, but you liquefied your liver. We need a drug-free solution, a natural solution, and that's what Relief Factor is. It helps your body's natural response to inflammation. You take it every single day. Look, they sell three-week quick start kits for $19.95. Why? Why not just sell some year-long subscription? Because they want you to try it. Just try it. Almost everyone calls them back and orders more. You'll never stop. It is so nice being pain-free. Experience that. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, now this is going to get weird. It's going to get weird, and I'm going to be careful, not because I'm careful or worried about getting in trouble, you know me, but because I'm trying to be respectful, and also there's a lot I don't know. So let's first of all outline some facts, and then we'll deal with some maybes and some hypotheticals and some things. Okay, first, Boeing, major defense contractor, as you well know, major airline manufacturer, as you well know. Boeing's a really big deal. Boeing has been in the news repeatedly lately for all the wrong reasons. Oh, look, there's a door that blew out mid-flight. Oh, look, we were taking off from LAX and dropped one of the tires as the plane lifted off. Boeing has been in the news for all the wrong reasons a lot lately. Headline, FAA audit into Boeing 737 MAX production, that's the name of their new plane, reveals dozens of problems. Okay, so Boeing has been in the news a lot for the wrong reasons. There was an audit into Boeing. It revealed problems such as using hotel key cards to verify door seals. I'm not making that up. That's one of the things they found people were doing. And then there was this man named John Barrett. Just stay with me here. John Barrett became a whistleblower. He was a former Boeing employee. And, well, here he was.
One, this is not a 737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane, as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787, because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process.
Headline, this is from today. Boeing whistleblower John Barnett, that was the guy's voice you just heard, by the way, found dead in the United States of America. John Barnett had worked for Boeing for 32 years until his retirement in 2017. This is from the BBC. In the days before his death, he had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. John Barrett, 62 years old, they found him in his car in the parking lot of a hotel from a, quote, self-inflicted wound on March 9th, a couple days ago. Okay, so we're going to skip right past the conspiracy portion of this. I have no idea. You have no earthly idea whether or not John Barnett actually took his own life or whether or not there's something more nefarious at work here. But there are a couple of things I do want to remind everyone of. And it's hard to accept these things because it sounds too movie-ish. But one, corporate espionage. In fact, Chris, I just had an idea. I realize we're live, but whatever. These ideas come to me. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be for tonight. You know what I want, Chris? I'll think of somebody, but you try to think of someone too, you and Michael. I want a corporate espionage expert of some kind on the show. All right? Corporate espionage. Anyway, back to everything else. Corporate espionage, it's not a small thing. Maybe you've seen a movie character or a TV show character play this role from time to time, but you should understand the corporate world employing former spies, former operatives to do various things. That is a gigantic industry that takes place all over the place. Now, if you were a corporation and you wanted to get involved with something like this, well, did you know China is competing with Boeing for who gets contracts to buy these planes? Did you know that? Do you know how easy it would be for China to possibly infiltrate Boeing, create these problems, create a PR nightmare for Boeing so no one would want to do business with them, thus turning everyone's eyes to China? Did you know that? By the way, that's real. Well, I'm not saying that's what China did, but they are competing with them. That's real. That's one of the ways these things happen. Another way these things happen is this. Another thing that's, it can be hard to accept because it sounds too movie-ish. Nevertheless, it's real. In the corporate espionage world, part of that is assassination, and it always has been. This is something that is known. No, I am not saying any of this applies to John Barnett. I have no idea, and neither do you. It looks really suspicious, right? The timing and everything, but I'm not saying it applies to him because I don't know. I really genuinely don't know. But once again, let's remember, not everyone shares your moral code. And much of the high-powered world, the politicians and CEOs and those guys, they left their morality behind a very, very, very long time ago. That's not universal, by the way, but many of them have. And if you're worth billions of dollars and there are billions of dollars on the line and you don't really have a moral code against harming somebody, killing somebody, well, that's an easy phone call to make, isn't it? This gentleman here is causing problems for my company, problems that may end up putting us into bankruptcy, costing us a $1 billion contract, something like that. Hey, how about we make a phone call and make sure that problem goes away? It's a big part of how business is done. It's one of those unspoken rules in the finance world. How many times have you picked up the New York Post in the morning and saw some local finance guy, finance executive, does the nasty plunge off of his 34th floor apartment in Manhattan? How many times have you read that headline? A lot, right? It's been a lot. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe every one of those was a suicide? Of course you don't. Now, were some suicides? Of course they were. Yeah, it's a high-pressured world, job loss and arrests and bankruptcy. I'm not dismissing that at all. Every one of those were suicides? No. No, they were not. That ugly part of life, it exists out there. We talk about it on the show. I try to always talk about it in ways that are respectful because you don't know. I brought this up about Elaine Chao's sister-in-law, or Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, I'm sorry, Mitch McConnell's wife's sister. So Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law. We brought this up when that story hit. I have no idea what happened there. You don't know. But what did I tell you as soon as it came out? Wait a minute. She drowned when her car went into a body of water on a Texas ranch? When it was 75 degrees in Texas, not that those things never happen, but that's not something that happens a lot. That's really weird. Remember when I came on the radio and said that? And remember the headline from a couple days ago? Authorities are now suspiciously looking into this whole thing. Again, in that world, people do die. That's not just something that happens in the movies or on Netflix. In that world, people die. People get killed, and there are men who will kill for money. All right, enough. Let's get to some emails, and then we'll talk about losing 140,000 farms. That's not good. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Somebody who doesn't even remember the first time is Dome.
Because in 2020, you told us we must do something. Okay, everyone has a chance to speak, but right now I'm speaking. Okay, thank you.
I love when these Democrats get interrupted and annoyed by the street animals that they court all the time. It just does my heart well. It really does. All right, we're going to get to some emails here. Jesse, you often talk about sending or spending your hard-earned money at companies that do not hate you, Pure Talk, etc. Do you follow this principle when it comes to shoe brands? I've found most of the support DEI, ESG, progressive agendas. Doesn't matter to me. All right. So I haven't run into this with shoes because I don't generally buy very many pairs of shoes. I've always been a pair or two of shoes guy. I am running into this. You know, I'm car shopping. I'm running into this with trucks. Very, very hard, if not impossible, with trucks. And I'll tell you somewhere else I'm running into this is outdoor gear. Outdoor gear and sporting goods is shockingly bad as an industry. Dick's Sporting Goods, you've heard of Dick's? That's a putrid company and has been for years. You should never, ever, ever shop at Dick's for anything. They hate your guts. Here's another company. This one hit me home. REI. You ever heard of REI? Chris, there's one in this area. REI is it's like the hiking outdoor. You need a kayak and a water bottle that's made from, you know, buffalo farts or something. You go into REI. You go in there and they got all the granola bars and everything you could ever want, right? And so we went into this REI store because one of my boys needed a pair of hiking boots. So we went into REI. And I guess I'm used to outdoors from Montana where I grew up, which is, you know, it's generally hunters and ranchers and fishers, and there aren't a whole lot of dirtball commies in that. But man, this outdoor realm has been occupied by them. In the back of this REI store, back where we are, there was an entire wall dedicated to child trannies, all the gay pride fist stuff. I don't mean a tiny little picture somewhere. There was a gigantic wall, and it's actually worse than that. They had gotten with a local school and had the children doing handwritten rainbow drawings.
Why are you gay?
That's what I said to him at the front. Yeah, it's a problem, man. It wears me down. It wears me down. The corporate takeover, the communist takeover of the corporate world, I should say, is one of those things that has really, it grinds on me. And I know it grinds on you too, because what it does is it makes all this left-wing filth inescapable. Because if you can't do any, you can't go to a movie. Look, I was talking earlier about the movie I went to. You can't go to a movie without having to hear about how happy the latest lesbian couple is. You can't go to a movie. You can't turn on the game. Because there will be a commercial for some kind of left-wing filth during the thing. It makes us feel surrounded. That's what it makes us feel. And we're not, right? Not totally. Yes, they did seize all the institutions, but we still have great numbers. But it makes us feel surrounded. It makes me, I don't want to speak for you. I'm speaking for myself here. It makes me sad for my kids. I can't even describe to them that you used to be able to just go to the movies and it was a popcorn and a Coke. Maybe your dad would let you get some candy if you felt like splurging that day, and you would sit and watch a movie. And maybe it was a good movie. Maybe it was a bad movie. It's not like all the movies were great back then, but there wasn't going to be any left-wing messaging bombarding you. It just wasn't something that happened. There weren't TV commercials before the movies, but if there were, you never would have saw one about climate change. It would have been, oh, hey, drink a Coca-Cola like Michael Jordan does. And life was just normal. But we don't have that anymore. And then, look, this is why I talked to you about not just where we don't spend our money now. Remember, where we do matters. And this is a habit, I'll be very, very honest with you, I'm still bad at. I'm trying to get better, and this is what I mean. I should have a list of companies in my mind where whenever I need anything, I go there first because I'm trying to patronize that business. That should be a thing. I should have a tire shop in my mind, right? Look, MyPillow is one of the ones that make this easy because MyPillow sells so many things. They have obviously pillows and mattresses and pajamas and slippers and dog beds. I'm like, they have so much stuff, but MyPillow should be almost number one no matter what you're looking for. You go to MyPillow first. Not only do they not hate you, they love you. They share your values. They promote your values. They take the money you give them and they use it to promote your values. That's very unique. But MyPillow has made that so easy. We should be coming up with a more extensive list. And I know there are places we could go to find that out there. But I personally, I have to be better about that. MyPillow is your first stop, not your last one. You know, not just when you hear me talk about it on the radio. By the way, they do have their Keys of Dream sheets on sale right now. Big time sale. Queen size, king size. They're My Slippers. The original My Slippers are 60% off. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Call them, 800-845-0544. It's just something that I need to get better about, being more proactive, because it's not just where we don't spend, it's where we do. I've done this more with trying to shop locally, and that is a habit that I've had to break over the years. You can call me cheap, that's fair, but you know, not made of money. Money doesn't grow on trees. Certainly haven't been. Big box stores were always where I went. I would always go to Walmart. That's just where you went. That's where you could get cheap stuff. And I needed cheap stuff. So Walmart was a habit for me, whatever I was looking for. And if you had one of those big Walmarts, what are they called? Supercenters or something, they have the grocery stores in them. That was like a gold mine. Yeah, I need cheap paper towels and cheap cereal this week. I'd need cheap. And that has always been a Kelly habit of mine, big box stores where you go. I try to never go in those places anymore. They're almost always run by a bunch of soulless evil commies, that's one. Two, I try to stick with local businesses because local businesses are almost, I shouldn't say almost always, oftentimes share our values. Small business owners are overwhelmingly on our side, and they are getting crushed right now because here in this gangster country of ours, we now have a government that's just all about big business. They hate small business. We lost a third of our small businesses during COVID while Amazon and Lowe's got to stay open. Amazon, Lowe's, and Walmart were wide open, but hey, that small mom and pop boutique you opened up last year, sorry, looks like you're going bankrupt. So that's the kind of country we have now. And then, look, you see headlines like this. And we can get into this a little bit more here in a minute, and we will, but U.S. companies are selling your personal data to the government. These private companies that are collecting our data all the time, whenever we're online, tracking you, what are you looking at, what are you shopping for, what are you searching? It's not just that they're tracking you so they can sell you sneakers. They're then taking that information and handing it over to the federal government. We need to stay out of these businesses. We really do. All right, we'll talk about that in a little more depth, plus some illegal immigration talk and other things. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.